Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Vandal Scoreboard on KUI Moscow 89.3 FM or Spotify. My name is Mark Warren.
And I'm James Dorman Aldrich.
And we are back for the final Vandal Scoreboard of the semester. We got a lot to get into today. A big playoff win against Southern Illinois University. Some basketball. But to start off, women's tennis released their spring schedule. They open February 2nd against Nichols in Thibodaux, Louisiana. And they'll have their first match at home against Utah State University on February 24th. They have all six starters from last year back on the team and three new freshmen joining the team. They did not have a great season last year. They went 3-14. So, you know, hope they can do better.
Yeah, you know, it's not the same as the men's tennis program, who's had historic success over the last handful of years, but you know, it's a women's tennis program that has brought in a lot of new people over the last handful of years. So, kind of similar situation as volleyball, just trying to gain their footing and work together as a team. But, you know, should be nice to have five, technically seven home games, five in the Kibbe Dome, those two down at Lewis Clark State, just because the football team likes to get their turf and their spring practices in the Kibbe Dome. So, but yeah, the game against, you know, Montana State and Montana at home should be fun ones. And then, you know, Sac State and Idaho State down in Lewiston should also be some exciting games. University of the Pacific, Lewis Clark State, and then, as you mentioned, Utah State are the other ones. So, you know, hope to pick up some more wins this season. It looks like they also play in a couple of tournaments on neutral sites with Grand Canyon and UC Riverside down in Phoenix. And then University of Wyoming and University of South Dakota down in Laramie. So, well, I guess neutral sites for at least one of those games. So that'll be fun. You know, it'll be nice to have some extra sports coverage happening during the spring semester. So.
Yeah, men's tennis. Is it a tip off? What is the serve? They serve their season. Their season. January 14th against the University of Washington. Over in Seattle, their first game is against Oral Roberts University, and that'll be in Moscow. And then they've got three straight days of home games in the Kibbe Dome against Idaho State, Seattle University, and Montana. Those are their other three Kibbe Dome games. They'll have two games down in Lewiston. Obviously, they're looking to go. Will it be back-to-back-to-back Big Sky champions?
Yeah, this would be their third in a row. Also, something to note, on March 23rd and 24th, Idaho heads down to Boise for the BSU Spring Tournament. A little bit of a mix-up over the summer as I can't think of his name. One second.
The Idaho head coach. The Idaho head coach for tennis,
whose name escapes me. I really liked the guy.
He went down to be an assistant coach down at Boise State.
You know, it'll be interesting to see how that goes for the Vandals and see if they could pick up a win against their former coach. You know, we saw it with Sac State beating Stanford earlier this year in football. So, you know, that'll be a big game for Idaho. And then they have that extra technical home game against Sac State in Lewiston. Mm-hmm. So, you know, hope to get a third in a row. Hopefully it's a little less scary than it was last season in those final couple sets where there was no live stream of it, so the stream updated for the live stats showed that I can't remember who they were playing, but it showed that the set had gone four and that the other guy had won, and then they had to reset, and it was a whole thing. Very anxiety inducing.
Hopefully a more decisive victory.
Hopefully there's no technical issues and the Vandals can win. That'd be cool.
Moving on to men's basketball, they're 5-4 right now. They're over 500, which is
technically over 500. Technically, they do have two wins over non D1 schools, which technicality next to. Mm-hmm. But we'll say that they're 5-4.
Better than they've done in the past few years up until this point of the season. Two wins this week against Cal Poly and the University of the Pacific, beating Cal Poly 85-70. Were you at that game, James?
I was. One thing that I didn't like to see out of the Vandals was that they kind of they got up 69-31 or 38, mm-hmm. and kind of just let off the gas. And you know, you like to have those nice wins. You want to be the team that doesn't, you know, win 100-30. Mm-hmm. But when you have the opportunity to, you know, keep rolling with your bench players and try to develop those guys, you want to keep cooking. Mm-hmm. As they say, and Idaho just kind of let off the gas. However, I didn't get to go to the Pacific game, but I did watch it on ESPN Plus, and they kept rolling. You know, they mm-hmm. got up and they kept it up, and it's been a fun team to watch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously they take that tough loss at Washington State. But, you know, 25-point loss to a Pac-12 team when you're a team that has three returners, two of which who got no playing time last year, and the third who got injured in the sixth game of the season.
And, you know, you're coming off a 10-22 season.
Yeah, so you know, it was a minimally moral victory. Mm-hmm. The loss to CSUN was, you know, one of those games that happens. Lost to Seattle University was an embarrassment if I've ever seen one, and I didn't mm-hmm. watch it because by the time I remembered it was happening, I looked at the score and I went, oh,
mm-hmm.
it's one of those days. The San Diego game was so fun to watch. Wish I could have been in Seattle for that. Denver loss was, you know, it was another moral victory for the Vandals. You have one of the top scorers in the country who transferred to Denver. From what I was told, and to come out with a 2-point loss, you know, it's and then to just absolutely dominate in your final two games on that home stand, mm-hmm. And then head down to Utah Tech before a bit of an 8-day break before what I was told by Julius Mims is Juice's most looked forward to game of the season against Stanford.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the Vandals have a 3-game road stint to close out the regular season. And then we get into conference play, which is where everything matters.
We get into kind of conference play. We have 2 games yeah. of conference play. Then we play St. Thomas.
Yeah, they did the same thing a couple years ago. Uh-huh. They didn't do it last year, thankfully. But it was Idaho played, I think, Montana and then some random school, I don't remember, and then mm-hmm. got back into conference play like 2 or 3 weeks later. So, you know, that extra game against St. Thomas at home with, you know, probably nobody in the stands will be nice to maybe see if the Vandals can pull off one more non-conference win
mm-hmm.
Before opening the full slate of conference games against mm-hmm. Eastern Washington at home on January 13th. So.
Yeah, just a quick note. D'Angelo Minnis has played really well the last 2 games.
Oh, absolutely.
18 points in the game against Cal Poly, along with 3 assists and 2 rebounds. Put up 20 in the game against Pacific, another 2 assists and a rebound. So, you know, a really good scorer for the
Vandals. Yeah, you know, he comes to Idaho after, I think, 4 years at Western Washington University. And in his, what was that? They were 8 and 9 games in, setting his D1 scoring record against Cal Poly and then setting it again a few days later against Pacific. Minnis has really grown into the role as a leader on this team, being mm-hmm. the only person who's graduating from the Vandals. I think there might be one junior on the team outside of Minnis, and the rest are freshmen and sophomores. So, you know, Minnis is stepping up into his role as a scorer. He's been working well as a defender, working well as a facilitator as well, especially with Tyler Morris going out with that injury against CSUN. Hope he's healing well. He was out of the full cast and into a boot the other day. So they do, from what I've heard, it kind of expect Tyler to be back before the end of the mm-hmm. season, which would be huge, especially if he can come back before the conference tournament down in Boise.
Yeah, I've got a question. I've not been able to watch as much Vandal basketball as I would have liked, but going into the season, I heard the name EJ Neal a lot.
Yeah.
Looking at his stats, what has happened there?
So EJ is more of a defensive guy, you know, and when you have so much talent on a team, you know, you have Trayvon Blasingame, Quinn Denker, Minnis, you know, these it's a guard heavy team.
Yeah.
And but EJ has stepped into the role in the last couple of games when his name has been called. And you know, he's scored, he's defended well. He didn't play in the two games before the game against Cal Poly, Denver, and UC San Diego. But you know, Coach Preble said, you know, when his number is called, he's a guy who's ready to play. So, you know, I like to see EJ on the court. He's huge for us defensively. But you know, when you do have so many guards and forwards on the team who are so good, you know, it makes it a little more difficult for those guys who are, you know, kind of lower on the bench to get the playing time that they should. But, you know, I think if he sticks around, I think he could be huge for the Vandals next season and the season after.
Yeah.
And kind of step into that role that D'Angelo Minnis is playing right now.
So, you know, the Vandals have four non-conference games left. You know, outside of that little, like, you know, two Big Sky stretch, what record do you think the Vandals will have going into Big Sky play?
Yeah, so, I don't know the current records or how any of the four teams that we play are. I would expect them to go at least 2-2. I could see 3-1. I'm actually going to check Stanford's record right now to see if they could even go 4-0. I want to see a win against Riverside for sure.
Yeah.
I just don't like UC Riverside, to be honest. You know, they're not Bakersfield, which is good, but they're
Stanford still is currently 4-4.
4-4. So, sitting at 500, and who have they had any like big wins?
They beat San Diego, they beat Eastern Washington, they beat Sacramento State, and they beat CSUN.
Yeah. So, you know, beating Eastern Washington, beating Sac State, both Big Sky Conference teams that the Vandals are going to have to play later in the season. Vandals lost to CSUN by 3, and it looks like Stanford won by 9.
Yeah, and I will say Stanford does have a large gap in the schedule, a 14-day gap in between their last game and the game
that,
against
that
Idaho.
Will help. You know, they're not playing after a 24-point win, go Kobe, against San Diego. They don't play until Idaho, and, you know, luckily for them, it's at home. Unfortunately, it'll be on the Pac-12 network, so hopefully all of you are really decent citizens and don't find some random website to watch that game on. You know, this is going to be a huge game for the Vandals. You know, they took the number 20 team in the country, at least in one poll, Arkansas. It's a double overtime and a 77-74 loss. So, Idaho, you know, I think this will be the loss that they take in the four games. You know, you'd like to see them obviously beat St. Thomas at home, but I mean, there probably won't be a lot of people, if any. That'll be will be a tough game to play at home, and then also Utah Tech and Riverside. I'm hoping Utah Tech's basketball team is kind of like their football team, absolute garbage. So that would be helpful for the Vandals. And then UC Riverside, they were supposed to play 2 years ago. It got canceled. And I don't remember if they played last season or not.
I believe we looked it up, and I'm checking right now. We did play. We lost by 2.
Yeah, so that'll be a fun game for the Vandals to hopefully come out on top this time. And outside of Denver, the teams that they lost to last season, they've beaten so far. And then, you know, they beat Pacific by 3 last season and beat them by 30 this year. So, you know, it'll be a tough 3-game road stretch for Idaho, but I could see them going 3-1, possibly 2-2.
So, you know, the Vandals should be looking at, you know, 7 to 8 wins by the time their full conference schedule kicks in. You know, obviously they could beat Sac State or Portland State.
Yeah.
And that win record would go up. But
yeah, And that game against Portland State is over Christmas break, which is going to suck because I don't know if you've looked at Portland State at all this season. They're really good at winning games in the final, you know, 30 seconds when they're down by two or three scores. And they've done it three or four times already this season. So Idaho's going to need to make sure that they step on the gas and hold it down for the whole game against Portland State. I haven't heard much about Sac State, but that second conference game is going to be very telling, I would say, about how the Big Sky Conference is going to look this season. If, you know, Portland State is just getting these, you know, late game wins because they're really, really good, or they're getting these late game wins because they're really lucky. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they've played good teams. So that'll be a big game for Idaho to start and stop conference play for a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Moving on, the women's team, sitting at 4-3 right now. They lost to Texas A&M Commerce this last week, a 72-71 loss. You know, obviously one that you would like to see go the other way in the Vandals.
Yeah, this is something that I have seen in ICCU Arena more times than I would like to count. Is you're up by, you know, one in this case, and it was the same situation against, I don't remember who Idaho played last season where it happened for the men, but they hit this little mid-range jumper, mid-range mm-hmm. floater with, you know, 5 seconds left on the clock, goes through. Idaho has to get down the court without any timeouts left mm-hmm. and score, and it just doesn't work. So, you know, this was a tough loss for Idaho, but, you know, they've gotten really big wins on the road against Fullerton, Hawaii, and Utah State. They can't win at home, mm-hmm. apparently.
Unless you're playing Walla Walla.
Yeah, if you're playing a D1 team, then hopefully you're playing on the road, which they play Oregon mm-hmm. tonight at the time of recording. And Oregon is coming off two losses. I think both were by like 20-some-odd points. So this is the perfect time for Idaho to maybe pick up a Pac-12 win and, you know, keep their road streak alive before returning home to play a team that gave Idaho a wonderful game last season in Grand Canyon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all of Oregon's losses have been by large scores, losing to Santa Clara 89-50, losing to Portland 91-60, and then losing to Baylor 71-51.
Yeah, so. Now granted, these are all good teams, especially uh-huh. Baylor. I think they're ranked they're like 13 now. Oh, mm-hmm. man.
They were 13th at the time of playing. Time, so,
you know, that's a game that you wouldn't expect Oregon to win. Mm-hmm. But, you know, this is a team that is bigger than Idaho, you know, better than Idaho. This would be kind
more
of
more green than Idaho.
More green, you know. It's going to be a really tough game for the Vandals. I would expect Idaho to lean on shooters like Ashlyn Wallace, Emily Langer. Aisha Phillips has kind of put up some more shots recently, but she's more of a post presence. You know, when I asked Coach Amy who they were going to lean on, she said, you know, we're going to play team basketball, because of course mm-hmm. she did.
Yeah.
You know, but this isn't a game where you can lean on Hope Butera and hope that she gets 22 points and 10, 11 rebounds. This is a game where they're going to have to play outside in and try to, you know, force Oregon out to the perimeter to defend those perimeter shots, and then, you know, maybe drive into the basket and try to score down low when they can. Mm-hmm. But I would expect Idaho to put up, you know, 25, 30 shots from the perimeter, if not more, in this game.
Mm-hmm. Idaho will then come back home, play Grand Canyon University and St. Martin University in the ICU Arena. They've got another weird little two-game Big Sky stretch, playing Sac State and then Portland State. And then they play the University of Denver and then Chicago State University before starting their full Big Sky stretch.
I'm going to check something real quick.
Okay, so, you know, this women's team is a team that has had a lot more recent success than the men's team, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so I think there are some higher expectations for this team. Even though, you know, similar to the men's team, new head coach, a lot of new players. You know, it's seeming like the team has gelled pretty quickly.
Yeah, you know, this is a women's team that does bring back more players than the men did. But a lot of those players were kind of end of the bench, you mm-hmm. know, energy players who you know, when you hit the three, they're excited that you hit it. You know, like Jaden and Skylar B. Losing Beyonce, obviously, you know, but this is a Vandals team that has worked really well together and has shown that they're playing team basketball. You know, in the final years of John Newley, it was really the Beyonce B, Tiana Johnson, you know, Sidney Gandy show. And last year especially, it was really get the ball to Beyonce, you know, and let her hit those little layups and hook shots in the paint. Whereas now it's get the ball to whoever can score for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether that be a dominant game from Hope Butera, a big game from Emily Langer like we saw at the Bank of Hawaii tournament. You know, I'd probably see some big games from Kennedy Johnson as well during this little stretch here. You know, the Vandals are working well together, both on the men and women's teams. Mm-hmm. You know, you would like to see a little bit more, you know, shooting, better rebounding still, especially as they go into this game against Oregon.
Yeah.
What I was checking, by the way, is what conference Chicago State was in.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like they're in the WAC, which is really weird.
Huh.
The Western Athletic Conference.
Last time I checked, Chicago is not in the West.
Yeah, no. You know, it also said that Sam Houston and Southern Utah were in that conference. Mm. So I'll believe the internet. However, what I was wondering is, because Idaho and the Summit League signed a contract where they'd play two games a season. Idaho has that game against University of Denver. Mm-hmm. Their other game was, I don't remember who it was supposed to be against, but that team left the Summit League, and it looks like the Vandals weren't able to replace that second game with another Summit League team. So that's tough, but maybe we can get three games against them next year.
Yeah. Moving on, the game that, you know, everyone has talked about for a week. Idaho's 20-17 win over Southern Illinois University. This was two teams just punching each other in the face to see who would get back up.
Yeah, you know, this is a game that if you're a Vandal fan, you're a football fan, you're an SIU fan, wherever you come from,
mm-hmm.
this is the game you wanted to watch. It was the best game of the day, the second game to go into overtime. Shout out to Montana State for not having a special teams that is decent.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, this was probably the best game the Kibbe Dome has seen in quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
And Idaho comes out on top with, you know, at the beginning of the week, I said, you know, Kochak, I asked him how big special teams were going to be. Because you talk a lot about the defense for both of these teams. SIU came in as the fifth best rushing defense in the country. Mm-hmm. And when you look at a team that is so defense heavy, who also isn't great on offense, and then you look at a Vandals team who has struggled on offense over the last couple of weeks outside of the game against the worst team in the Big Sky Conference, not statistically, but like morally.
Yeah.
Who rushes a field after beating an 0-3 team? Anyway, you know, this was a very fun game to watch.
Mm-hmm.
And exactly what I expected. I think it was almost exactly what you expected.
I said 21-17.
Yeah.
So I was real close.
Yeah. You know, I think I said 24-21. Mm-hmm. So, but it ended exactly how we said it would.
Yeah.
You know, you can only say that Ricardo Chavez is going to hit a field goal to win a game so many times before it actually happens. But, you know, this was just fun to watch. It was, you know, fun to see Anthony Woods get, you know, 17 tries from 1 inch away from the goal line to get in. You know, Jermaine Jackson, obviously, pretty much MVP for Idaho in that game with the punt return.
Yeah, that was I was sitting next to Connor Anderson and Jaden Barfus, who we've had on the show before, and they lined up, and I looked over at Jaden, and I said, this one's going back for a touchdown. And I did not think it would happen, but you know, you just gotta put it out there.
Yeah. See, when you saw Southern Illinois come down and they have, I think it was five white jerseys that JJ just ran straight through.
Yeah.
Nobody defending the left side of the field other than the kicker. And I don't know if you guys watched the game or anything, but their kicker isn't very good.
Yeah.
Kicker/punter, I guess. I don't know. Maybe they're two different people. I wasn't paying attention.
A big shout out to Thomas Ford, who won special teams coach of the week.
We were going to try to have him on this week.
I want to try to get him on next semester
for sure.
The special teams for the Vandals has always been, you know, really good. Also, the running back coach. This Vandal obviously has the Vandal team obviously has a great running offense. Also, just seems like a great guy. I've not gotten a chance to talk to him.
Yeah, no. Coach Ford is my, you know, no hate on any of the other coaches for the mm-hmm. Vandals. He's my favorite coach for this Idaho football team. My favorite coach at Idaho in general right now. We hugged after the game. I don't know if that's against the rules or anything, so I didn't care. You know, it was great to see, you know, all of his efforts with mm-hmm. this team, both with the running back core and with special teams, you know, pay off in that win. And it's going to be necessary this week, too.
Yeah. Also, big shout-out to X-Ray Alexander, who blocked that kick, led the team in total tackles, had a forced fumble. A really good freshman season out of that guy.
Fun fact, according to his parents, mm-hmm. who are probably the best resource for this, he was sick all week leading up into that game. Lost 11 pounds heading into the game.
Oh, my goodness.
So, huge shout-out to X-Ree for putting in the work and, you know, stepping up and still playing in that game.
Mm-hmm. Also, Jermaine Jackson, Ricardo Chavez, like you mentioned. Hogan Hatton, the long snapper for the team. I don't think most people know how much really goes into a field goal. You know, you got to get the snap perfect, the hold perfect.
Yeah, I mean, so, if you look at the Montana State North Dakota game mm-hmm. where that kick was with a PAT was blocked at the end.
Yeah,
you know, you can probably also blame the snapper for that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it the laces hit the kid right on the arm.
Yeah,
you know, and it was probably not a great snap. And shout out to that kid from North Dakota State who. His role that whole game was just to block a kick.
Mm-hmm.
And he did it. So that'll be a fun game, NDSU-USD, this weekend as well.
Yeah.
But, you know, the Vandals played about as well as you would expect them to
mm-hmm.
against that good of a defense. Going into this game against Albany, I would expect and I would want a much heavier lean on Giovanni McCoy, on yes. Hayden Hatton. Get JJ involved more in the passing game.
Absolutely. You know, this is one of the things that they didn't do a lot of, but when they did it, it worked. They ran when they would run tempo and they would get back to the line quickly.
Mm-hmm.
That was working. They didn't do that as much as I think they should have.
Yeah. See, that's been a detriment and a help to the Vandals for the last mm-hmm. 2 years is they're a slow paced team. They yeah. usually go in the huddle after every snap, after every play and you know, try to hold onto the ball for 33 minutes a game.
Mm-hmm.
You can't really do that in the playoffs. This is going to yeah. be a game where these guys are going to have to play fast, mix things up, catch Albany off guard.
Yeah.
Otherwise, Idaho's not moving on to the semifinals.
Mm-hmm. And then I think they also just need to throw more over the middle of the field.
Absolutely.
Hayden Hatton is a great downfield guy. Have him run some digs. Just get him in the middle of the field. Get Jermaine in the middle. Get Therese Traynor. Get Jordan Dwyer. Get TJ Ivey. Get Jake Cox. Get anyone in the middle of the field
yep.
and throw it there.
You know, the only struggle that I see for the Vandals in this game is the I think he's a D end or D tackle for UAlbany who is mm-hmm. Currently in the running for the Buck Buchanan Award, which is the best defensive player in the FCS in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if Idaho can find a way to neutralize that man, then I could see Idaho coming out on top. But this defense yeah. is incredible. His name's yeah. Dylan Kelly. He's a linebacker. 148 tackles, 3 sacks, 2 fumble recoveries, and 2 interceptions throughout the course of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Idaho's offense is going to need to play better than they've played all season, both on the ground and especially through the air,
mm-hmm.
And try to figure out a way to not throw or run at Dylan Kelly.
Yeah. You know, another thing this team will have to – two things. They need to tackle better because there were about a million missed sacks in that, missed sacks in that game.
How many times have we said that this season?
Yeah. And then another thing we have said all season, limit the penalties. Idaho had 8 penalties for 70 yards.
How many penalties did SIU have?
They had 8 penalties for 25 yards.
Yeah, so and probably 6 or 4 or 5 of those were on the goal line.
Probably, yes, in that little stretch.
I think it was 4 because there were 3 uh-huh. either offsides, too many people on the field.
Defensive pass interference.
DPI, but it was like, had it been a Big Sky game, wouldn't have been called. Mm-hmm. So Idaho should probably send a thank you letter to the Coastal Athletic Association. Because that was a close one there, a close call that went in the Vandals' favor and was the reason they won that game, really.
Mm-hmm. Also, just another quick shout-out to the Vandal creative team who are producing amazing videos week after week. 8-minute
video?
Yeah.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
It's great content over there.
And hopefully they have another great video to work with this week against UAlbany, who best defense in the country, both rushing defense. They lead the country in sacks. I think they lead the country in like passes defended or something. Mm-hmm. And this isn't even a thing where you can say, well, they don't play in a great conference. Sure, the CAA isn't wonderful, but there's another CAA team playing tomorrow against South Dakota State in number 8 Villanova, who, if you're a Vandal fan, you better be praying that the CAA shows up in the morning and doesn't remember how to play football in the evening so that you can get another home game in the Kibbe Dome. But, you know, I would love to see Giovanni McCoy. You know, we usually like to say if you throw for more than 30 passes, you're not going to win a game. I'd be totally fine with Giovanni McCoy throwing 30 passes in this game if he's on target.
Yeah.
If he's throwing 30 passes and he's hitting on 15 of them, I'd like to see Jack Lane get some playing time, which I said last week. It didn't happen.
Yeah. But, I mean, you know, Jack Lane has proven in the two games he started, while they have been against Idaho State, he can play football well.
Absolutely.
He's a good player.
He is the best backup quarterback in the FCS, at least.
Yeah, you know, and I think something important to mention is, luckily for Idaho, it's a long trip from Albany to Idaho, and it'll be 10 o'clock their time.
So it's a five-hour plane ride, which, man, I wish I could charter a plane. Last time I had to fly in that direction, it took all freaking day.
Yeah.
But, five-hour flight, three-hour time difference. Luckily for the Vandals, number one, UAlbany has never won outside of the Eastern time zone. They've taken the longest regular season and postseason trip. They played Hawaii earlier this year and lost. And they are 0-3 against Big Sky teams. I think two of those were against Montana or Montana State, and one of them was against either Montana or Montana State. So history is on the Vandals' side. The defensive ability of UAlbany is not on the Vandals' side. The offensive ability of UAlbany is not on the Vandals' side. This is a game where looking at every single facet of actually looking at the play on the field, Idaho should not win.
Yeah, and I think this is a team that is going to come in and play angry because it's very possible they should be playing in Albany this week.
You know, if it wasn't for Idaho absolutely destroying Idaho State by 40-something in the final game of the season, the day before the selection committee picks what seed goes where, you know, I fully think that Albany would have been the 4 seed and probably should have been.
Yeah.
You know, you take that loss to Weber State a couple weeks ago, you struggle against a team that ended 0-11 in Northern Colorado, which granted, so did everyone else in the Big Sky.
Yeah. But, you know, still, you struggle in that game. You lose to Weber.
The only reason Idaho held on to the 4 seed over the 5 seed was that win against the worst team in the Mountain West in Nevada.
Yeah.
And then, you know, playing well in the first half against Cal, taking a 17-0 lead.
You know, almost beating Montana, who was the 2 seed.
So, you know, everything that factors in to who gets what seed. Idaho got lucky that, you know, they had that game against Nevada, that they played well against Cal.
That the Montana State kicker missed the kick.
There are a lot of facets where you could look at it and say Albany deserves the 4 seed and Idaho should be taking the 5-hour flight to New York.
Yeah. So, I worry that this team's going to come in here, play angry, but I think it's going to be in the Kibbe Dome. The university did a better job of promoting the free student ticket, so I'm hoping that, you know, it's an even more packed Kibbe Dome.
Which you could barely make it more packed in the student section. The thing here is it's supposed to snow. However, You know, people from Spokane, there's a bus coming down from Coeur d'Alene, I've been told.
It's graduation.
It's graduation weekend. There was an attempt to get a bus up from Boise. Mm-hmm. I don't think they don't reached think the point that they needed to. They only had like 19 seats filled or something. Mm-hmm. But all of those people who were willing to ride the bus up, hopefully, you know, they can carpool together and drive up here. Oh, it's a game where the Vandals are going to need those, you know, North Idaho, Eastern Washington, even Western Washington, mm-hmm. and Southern Idaho Vandals to make the trek up, to make it so, you know, there's 13, 14,000 people instead of 9. Yeah. And, you know, Albany's not going to travel for this game.
No, it's going to be an empty Albany section.
Yeah, you know, the flights are probably expensive as heck. Mm-hmm. The flight would suck. And, you know, who would want to come from New York to Idaho in, you know, the early middle of winter?
Do you have a score prediction for this game?
I do. And for the first time on the show, I'm going to predict that Idaho loses.
Mm-hmm.
My prediction is it's going to be a 16-10 game. Idaho's going to go up 7 early. Albany's going to answer back. Idaho's going to have to kick 3 straight field goals. There's going to be about 3 minutes left on the clock, and Albany's going to go down, hit the PAT to win 17-16. I hate to say it, but mm-hmm. looking just at everything surrounding this game, it's going to be close. But I think that defense from Albany is too strong. Sam mm-hmm. Herder's official prediction was 24-20 in favor of UAlbany, and he was correct last week. So, you know, I hope I'm wrong.
Mm-hmm.
However, as I told you before the show, I'd rather get it out of the way now than instead of losing by 30 to SDSU next week.
Yeah, I am going to stick with the Vandals because I am way too optimistic of a football fan.
That's fair.
I think Idaho's going to win 24-21. I think Idaho's going to come in with a lot of energy after last week. They're going to come in with some confidence, and they're going to play hard. And with a packed student section, they're going to send the students to break very happy. And then
hopefully the students don't leave for break.
Yeah.
Just in case Villanova wins mm-hmm. tomorrow morning.
You know, and hopefully then Villanova will win. I'm going to predict Villanova to win because I think I'll be the only person in the world to do that.
I think that South Dakota State, mm-hmm. You know, their reign of terror over the Missouri Valley Conference and even over the Big Sky, mm-hmm. they would not have been undefeated if it hadn't been for about 1 inch. If the white line was about 1 inch shorter mm-hmm. in the end zone, they would have lost to Montana State earlier in the season. So I think we should also throw out a Villanova score prediction. I'm going to pick Villanova over SDSU 17-11.
Villanova 100-0.
Okay.
Villanova's
I don't even know if
you
can score 11 points.
Yeah, you
two
can.
Safeties. Yeah. You know, two safeties or, against South Dakota State.
Or a touchdown, a two-point conversion, and a field goal.
Yeah. So.
And then the next time we will be talking, Idaho will have brought back a natty and the little brown stein after beating Montana.
Yeah, I will personally, if need be, I will drive to Missoula and pick mm-hmm. up the little brown stein if they don't give it back after Montana cakewalks their way mm-hmm. into the national championship game. For next season, here's a little quip at the committee. Can we make it so that Montana, last season, they shouldn't have even been in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Can we make it so that they don't have the absolute easiest road to a national championship in the history of ever? Because that is disgusting.
So, next time we'll be talking, Idaho will be national champions, and we will have beaten Montana in the national championship.
I agree.
All right. Thank you all so much for listening. We will be back in January sometime. I've been Mark Warren. You can follow me on Twitter or X at MarkWarren1832.
And you can follow me and yell at me if my score prediction is wrong, and tell me how dumb I am on Twitter/X at JamesAldrich25.
Thank you all so much for listening. Bye, everyone.